Skyler in Lexington, Kentucky. Beautiful part of the country. Hello, Skyler.
Yes.
Welcome aboard. You are on the air.
Okay, cool.
What's your question? Why are you an atheist?
We'll ask you the questions.
Okay. I actually was a born Christian, raised Catholic, went to religious studies in college, and I learned a lot about Christianity and other religions, and I just kind of, through the history of human creation, would try to create a realistic answer to things we can't explain, and I think that's the hole that Christianity is filling right now. I mean, Greek mythology, they came up with a bunch of gods to answer their questions that became not valid any longer, and as we progress through history, we just create different religions that explain stuff we cannot.
So God is sort of a wish projection of what we want to be, but as the non-existence of the Greek gods proves, the Christian God is just one more in a failed attempt at being a divinity. Is that kind of the bottom line, Skyler?
Yeah, pretty much. It's filling in the gaps we can.
Okay.
All righty. I guess, Skyler, would you ever be open to any evidence? Would you ever be open to believing in the existence of God if sufficient evidence could be presented?
Sufficient evidence can be presented to there's a mass creator of the whole universe. Yeah.
What would that evidence, what would it look like? What would that evidence be? Like, what kind of evidence would be sufficient?
Well, I mean, it would have to be empirical. It would have to be something you could touch, feel, prove, anything else like in the body of science or something like that.
Well, but why?
Well, what do you mean, why would that have to be the proof?
Well, yeah, so you were wondering if God exists. Now, I agree with you, the gods of Greek mythology don't exist. And in fact, 2,500 years ago, the Greek philosopher Aristotle, he said those gods were just myths. They were stories with human personality traits put to divine characters. But so Aristotle rejected that, but he did believe in something called the prime mover, which would be kind of this unmoved mover, complete act of being that explains why a universe like ours exists. So when I talk about God, I'm not talking about just character like Zeus or Thor. God is, and I want to make sure you and I, the word God means the same thing, that God is immaterial, eternal, infinite act of being without limits of any kind. So all good, all knowing, or all powerful. So would you agree God is that's the God you and I are talking about and wondering whether he exists?
Yeah, you're not talking about a God with a beard, with a cane that's right on a cloud.
So if God is immaterial and eternal outside space and time, and we're wondering if God exists, you would agree we couldn't find him directly with empirical evidence, like a microscope or a telescope couldn't see him. So actually, we're going to have to take this. I want you to hang on. We're going to come back in the next break. And you, Skylar, are you still here with us? Okay, good. So when you and I are saying, does God exist? I want to make sure we're on the same page. God, you know, he's infinite, unlimited act of being, eternal, immaterial, outside, beyond space and time, transcends all of that, all powerful, all knowing, all good, unchanging, just perfection itself, unlimited. So that, when I'm talking about God, that's what I mean. Is that, and you astutely said, we're not talking about a man in the sky with a beard. Did I get you right?
Yeah, but you're talking about a God that's not in space and time, but that can interact with space and time.
Yes. Yeah, well, God that is being itself is just existence. And so this God, if something exists, it exists because God sustains it. So space and time exist because God sustains those created realities. So my point is that...
But he can change the reality of space and time anytime he wants to.
Sure, provided he doesn't contradict himself or anything like that.
Okay.
But
yes.
So what I would say then is, so this God, you know, God, he's not made of anything. He's not even located within time. But he exists and transcends it. We can't find God directly, right, with a telescope or a microscope, because then whatever we found wouldn't be him.
Correct. You'd have to prove his interactions with space and time.
Okay, so we'd have to look at the effect and see if it goes back to a divine cause. So what kind of effect could we find that could only be attributable to an immaterial and eternal being like God?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the problem. You would have to eliminate all reasonable of physics and reason and then come up with something that's internal, which is very hard to do.
Well, why can't we just propose the big, let's see, what's the biggest thing we could think of that we would say, well, God would be the only source that could cause that. The biggest thing I can think of would just be reality, space, time, matter, and energy, all that exists. If all that exists cannot explain its own existence, which I don't think that it can, then it would logically follow back. There must be a reality that explains its own existence, or that just is existence, and that would be God.
What? Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but just because you don't have the answer to why this is this existence doesn't mean that the logical conclusion is God. Maybe we just don't have the answer to it.
No, I would agree with you, but I would say that's why I asked earlier, if you were open-minded, what kind of evidence would convince you? Because it seems to me I could present you with any evidence, and you could say, well, we just haven't found the answer yet, so nothing in principle could ever convince you.
Well, I mean, I guess in that sense, but, I mean, if I see the smoking gun, I mean, I'm going to believe into the murderer's hand, I'm going to believe that guy's the murderer. I mean, it has to be pretty substantial evidence to come to that conclusion. Uh-huh. Same with God. I mean, you can't just make a leap of faith about, well, we can't explain creation, so it has to be...
Right,
the problem for me is that there is no such thing that could ever be considered a smoking gun for you. You could always retreat to, well, maybe there's another explanation. I mean, can you think of anything hypothetical where if it happened, you'd say, oh, yeah, that definitely shows God exists?
I mean, I guess if Noah's Ark popped up, I don't know.
I guess that's what's hard for me is when I talk with other atheists. It seems, well, we're ready, we'll change our mind, we want evidence. But if the bar is set so high, then nothing can ever surpass it. So my point being that reality itself, and I'm not saying I don't know what explains reality, therefore God, I could make an argument. I'll give you a short version of it, then we might have to move on. This one's called the contingency argument for God. It would go like this. Whatever exists has an explanation, either in its own nature or in something else. The universe doesn't explain itself. Therefore, it's explained by something else that explains itself. The only being that can explain its own existence would be something that is necessary or just is existence itself. And that's what people call God. And so that's kind of a short argument for the existence of God. What would you think about the universe? Does it require an explanation for itself?
I would say there's an explanation. Well, no, I mean, there's an explanation to be had. We just don't have it yet.
Okay.
I mean, but I mean, there. I think the honest belief that either the universe is, I mean, yeah, if there's a creationist, then there has to be a creation, right? Or the existence is just unlimited, which could be true also.
Even if it is unlimited, we'd still wonder, why is there something rather than nothing?
Yeah, it sounds, Skylar, that unless we present a material cause, something you can look at empirically, you will be able to squirrel away from the answer because it's essentially spiritual and goes beyond the limits of science itself.
Correct. You're not going to find, yeah, if you had a material evidence right now to convert me to Christianity, I mean, then we would all be Christians, wouldn't we?
Well, no, some people may choose not to believe that because some people have their wills. For example, I can show to many people that eating right and exercising will make them happier and healthier, but not everyone's going to do it, right?
Yeah, but you couldn't. Yeah, true. I mean, but you couldn't argue that doing that stuff wouldn't make you healthier.
Doing what stuff? Oh, no, well, people could accept it, but just not choose to do it. So, but I think there is good evidence. The problem for me is I think it's important for Christians and atheists to sit down and figure out, okay, well, what rules of evidence are we playing with here? And that when Christians put forward an argument, I just think it's very disingenuous when atheists say, I'm ready to be convinced, and cite maybe a random miracle, as Skylar said, you know, Noah's Ark appearing somewhere, which actually I think aliens are you know, Richard Branson could come up with that or David Copperfield. But then when Christians put forward all of reality itself needing an explanation, mm-hmm. which is infinite, you know, not infinite, but way, way bigger than a paltry miracle on earth, suddenly, oh, well, science will figure that one out eventually. So I think that's something, this is a conversation Christians and atheists need to have on mm-hmm. that subject, or else atheism is completely invulnerable to disproof, and it's just like the religions it criticizes.
Right, and I believe you discussed the rules of evidence in Answering Atheism.
Yeah, I do.
What does sufficient evidence look like? Skylar, thanks for the call. I think you'd really enjoy the book, Answering Atheism. You can pick up a copy at Catholic.com.